Today's episode is all about heart disease with Daniel Trevor.
I think some doctors think that they have the mentality where, well, if they didn't teach it to me in medical school, it must not be that important enough. Or if I'm supposed to know about nutrition and metabolic health, they would have taught me that. I don't know. Again, haven't done the survey, but, you know, they just don't explore that and they don't learn. You know, I had to learn this the hard way.
We have access to ancient healing strategies such as ketosis, fasting, and carnivore. And on the Keto Camp podcast, we are determined to deliver the science to you. We bring in the thought leaders in this space to have extraordinary conversations so you could apply it and change your life. Your body was built to thrive. Your body is capable of healing as long as you identify the interference and remove it. I believe you are a masterpiece because you are a piece of the master. My name is Ben Ezzati. I'm the best-selling author of Keto Flex, and I want to thank you for spending part of your day with me. Hey, Ben Ezzati here. I'm very excited to bring on Daniel Trevor today. First time he's been on the show, and he has a new book called The Unholy Trinity, How Carbs, Sugar, and Oils Make Us Fat, Sick, and Addicted, and How to Escape Their Grip. His story is really remarkable. Thinking he was healthy, given a clean bill of health by his doctors, and then the man suffered a heart attack, and it raised a lot of questions for him. And he discovered he was actually an undiagnosed type 2 diabetic. I mean, how often does that happen? Undiagnosed with heart disease, undiagnosed with fatty liver disease, had osteoporosis, and he became a citizen scientist, which I love. And he took a deep dive into the research. He resolved his health, and you'll hear the whole story. I don't want to give it away, but then he's written a new book. And the conversation today is really focused on heart disease. And I actually learned a lot from Daniel today that I was not aware of in terms of some advanced testing. Of course, we'll discuss the history of what went wrong with cholesterol, navigating the longevity connection between LDL and HDL and triglycerides and cholesterol and inflammatory markers, how to really test to see if you are at risk of heart disease. We're going to talk about different particle sizes of the LDL. We'll discuss the calcium score and more advanced testing. These are things that I learned on the episode today. We'll discuss how corrupt big pharma, big food, big government is and how they're all in bed together, selling sickness, even worse, creating sickness. And I really believe this episode is one of those episodes for those who are doing a higher fat diet, keto, carnivore, whatever it is, and their cholesterol or LDL has gone up and your doctor is worried. This is the conversation and an episode that you want to really understand. And then it'll help you have a more intelligent, productive conversation with your doctor. And heck, you could even share this episode with your doctor if they're open to actually hearing the latest research. I am really looking forward to revealing the full episode with you today. I just want to take a brief moment to acknowledge today's Apple Podcast rating and review of the day. And this comes from TT, 5-star review titled, Ben is the Man. Here's what TT wrote. I was diagnosed with PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, in 2020 and took depression meds. They gave me metformin, said nothing about my diet. I came across Ben actually months before I was diagnosed and already started fasting and eating low carb. Never took the meds and I'm off antidepressants. It changed my life. All my levels are great and my fasting insulin was 4.5. Ben's testimony and long history of research to finding ways to live an optimal life is helping so many people, and you will surpass your million, my friend. You are definitely doing God's work by informing us, and I thank God often, along with a few others I follow, like Dr. Mindy Pels, Dr. Ken Berry, Dr. Jason Fung, Jen Stevens, Dr. Daniel Pompa, to name a few. The world definitely needs more doctors and educators like you all. You have also managed to stay humble over the years, and I appreciate that as well. Keep on ketoing, Ben. Wow. That is absolutely incredible. One of my favorite testimonials, podcast reviews I've read. I am so proud of you. You are the perfect example of the body's ability to heal itself. I say this all the time. There's no doctor. There's no pill. There's no supplement. There's no vaccine that could replace the world's greatest physician, which is your innate intelligence. What you did was you identified the interference. You worked on removing the interference. And look at you now. You healed your body. I mean, one of my favorite things here is that you're no longer relying on antidepressant meds. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations. The names you mentioned are all incredible resources. So if you're not familiar with the names I mentioned, go follow them as well. We need more people getting into the space of holistic medicine, understanding how the body works, how the metabolism works. And we need more people getting away from the sick care system, which we're going to talk a lot about on today's episode. Congratulations. So proud of you. If you have not left the podcast a rating or a review as of yet, please do so on whatever platform you're listening from. We would surely appreciate that. And maybe I'll read your review in the next episode. All right, let's have a fun conversation with Daniel Trevor. Daniel Trevor is a citizen scientist and a serial entrepreneur who has created several startup businesses, including a high-tech CTI company that grew over 300 employees. He also created a marketing and anti-aging products and produced TV and radio infomercials, hiring celebrities as spokespersons, as well as hosting some himself. You're going to hear a story. Here we go. Daniel, thank you so much for coming on the show, my friend. I'm really excited to talk about your book.
Sounds good. I'm really happy to be here, Ben. Appreciate that.
Fat, sick, and addicted, and how to escape their grip. I can't think of a more important book during a more important time than this right here. But your story is what led you to writing the book. So share a little bit about what happened to you about 4 years ago and what led you down this path, Daniel.
Yeah, well, it's true. A few years ago, I almost died from a heart attack. And I was a lean and symptom-free Mr. Healthy, or so I thought, right? Because I had no symptoms. I was on the lean side. And, you know, everybody knows that, you know, if you're like that, there's no chance that you're going to have any kind of metabolic disease or dysfunction or anything like that. And it turns out that I just had all these metabolic situations going on. What I discovered was the root cause source of my cardiovascular disease was the fact that I was a type 2 diabetic. I was a raging type 2 diabetic. And most people think that you have to be overweight or obese. It's true that most people are that way, but there's a small, like 1% or 2% that can be on the less slim side. And they call it TOFI, T-O-F-I, thin outside, fat inside. And they have, you know, visceral dangerous fat in the visceral area, which is the most dangerous place to have it. So I had that, and that was the root cause source of my cardiovascular disease. This, my undiagnosed, not only the diabetes, but undiagnosed cardiovascular disease, because I had the heart attack, and that was, you know, it's just, there's no symptoms, there's no signs. Most of the people who die of a first heart attack, their very first symptom of heart disease is their own death. I mean, this is not something you want to mess around with. So that's why after I had the heart attack, I had all these tests done. And I found a lot of people on YouTube, you know, because I went to YouTube University and Google University and all like that to find out, you know, from all these different smart people, how did this happen to me? How did I get this, you know, these chronic diseases? And I looked into all this. Fortunately, you know, I'm basically just a lower class street kid from Philly. And I was fortunate early on to learn how to study well. so that I could conquer anything that I was really interested in. I wasn't like an amazing student, but if there was a certain topic that I wanted to conquer, I knew how to do it. So I jumped into all that, and I found all these geniuses on the cutting edge of metabolic health and the proper human diet and everything, and found out that I was doing everything wrong. I didn't know that, you know, for example, the carbohydrates. I didn't know. I was totally bought into the propaganda of, air quotes coming at you, the heart-healthy whole grains that turn into sugar when you ingest them. I didn't know any of that. And the reason why I call it the unholy trinity, and the subtitle is how carbs, sugar, and oils make us fat, sick, and addicted, and how to escape their grip. The carbs, I'm talking about the refined and industrially processed grains, which they then turn into bread, pasta, cereal, crackers, biscuits, waffles, pancakes, chips, pretzels, rolls, pizza, tortillas, and on that way. And then, of course, you got the candy cake, ice cream, soda, fruit juice. I mean, never did we ever have any of those either, right? Even the fruit juice. I mean, never did we have such a concentration of sugar just drinking it right down. And it's 10 times worse when it's in the form of soda, diabetes water, right? And then with the oils, it's, as you, I'm sure you know by now, because I've seen it on your channel, the vegetable oils, they weren't even in the food supply until 1865 when they were invented. It was cottonseed oil, and it was invented as a lubricant for machinery. And it was considered a toxic food or toxic, something toxic to the body. And they started making, you know, all these vegetable oils. Now, to be clear, there are some that are okay, like the olive oils and the avocado and that kind of thing. But those got into the food supply very heavily starting at about 1911 with this product called Crisco from these two guys that came from Europe. I can't remember their first names. It was Procter and Gamble. And they came up with this thing called Crisco. And years later, they found out that it wasn't until the 90s that Mayo Clinic discovered that it was just more than half of trans fats. And trans fats are the worst kind of fats you can put into your body. And so the combination together with the carbs, the sugars, and the oils is just, it's just why it's so deadly. And they're all addicting too.
The oils, the processed foods, the sugar, et cetera. So I'm curious with your story, Daniel, were you going and seeing your doctor, doing like an annual lab test report? Like there was no clues given to you that you were type 2 diabetic and that you were at risk of heart disease. I'm curious if you had regular appointments or what was the situation like before you had that heart attack?
Well, I had just passed what you call a stress test. And that's why, you know, there's a guy, a wonderful, smart, genius guy named Dr. Ford Brewer. And I discovered his channel and I got to know him. And he's out of Johns Hopkins. And he even had a book called, Prevention Myths, Why Stress Tests Can't Predict Your Heart Attack and Which Tests Actually Do. And so he was just at the forefront of all of this. And so I had asked him to write this chapter in the book, which turned out to be chapter 22. And that is what are the most important blood labs and scans that anybody can get that your doctor might say, oh, you don't need that. You're fine. You don't need that. And the only reason they're telling you that is because they don't know what it is, and they wouldn't know how to interpret it anyway.
So true.
But, you know, and if they still won't do it, then you can, there's a way I show in the book how you can order them yourself without needing a doctor's prescription. That way you yourself can find out if you've got something lurking, ready to pounce, that coincides with maybe something that is in your genetics that your family has, your mother and father and your Uncle Joe and all that. So you can avoid all that. Or you get the test and you find out you're just fine, or someplace in the between that needs attention. that you need to check out so that that way you can find out for yourself and you don't have to depend on your doctor, because your doctor sometimes will go, and I'm not saying that you have a doctor like this or any of the persons listening to this, is that they might think, oh, well, what are you following Dr. Google now? Is that it? And if they're going to give you that that kind of attitude, that's not somebody you want to follow anyway. And you got to say, hey, look, I'm the CEO of this body that I have. I got to find out what's going on. So, you know, I am going to go to Dr. Google and explore and that kind of thing. So, you know, you really have to be the CEO and the Luke Skywalker of your, you know, you want a doctor that's going to be maybe like a good advisor, and they might look at some of the things that you're giving them to look at. You know, for example, I have a chapter that has to do with osteopenia and osteoporosis, and that is coming into people much, much younger these days because of their metabolic health is going down. I think it's in the second paragraph. I'm talking about this new study, relatively new, that these are coming in to like 35 to 50-year-olds. And that's why I say, look, you got to get what's called a DEXA scan. It only costs about $100. And if your doctor tells you you don't need that because you're too young, show him this study so that they can go check that and make sure, and you want to eliminate it.
So important. Yeah. So you're right. The doctor works for... Doctor, you did a stress test, to your point, and you still had a heart attack. With those markers, let's discuss a few of the most important ones to assess risk of cardiovascular disease. We know that total cholesterol is pretty meaningless. Even things like total LDL is pretty meaningless. There are more moving parts to the picture. So what are some of the tests that you would recommend that you talk about in your book for my audience to go get and request from their doctor?
Very important. In fact, there was a test from 2019 out of Johns Hopkins, and 2019 in the medical field is like, you know, 20 minutes ago, because it takes so long for new science to get to the front lines of the doctors, let alone how long it takes to get into the curriculum of the medical schools. They found out that 74% of doctors, and we're talking cardiologists, internists and family physicians, you know, your conventional, 74% don't know how to properly diagnose and test for prediabetes or type 2 diabetes, let alone know how to deal with it. Most of them, what they do is they will test your A1C and your fasting blood glucose. And even the American Diabetes Association will tell you that if you're just going to test those two, you're going to miss 70% of the patients anyway. And so there's another test that none of the doctors order. In fact, I have chapter 7 is called the most important health test you've ever had. The most important health test you've never had, because they don't order it. And what it really does is it determines how much diabetic physiology you have, because all of the major killers, your heart attacks, your strokes, some cancers, blindness, PCOS, all these various silent diseases, the original root cause of it is all from having a certain degree of diabetic physiology, which you want to avoid. And so you want to get this test called the OGTT with insulin. Oral glucose tolerance test with insulin, and that will tell whether you're pre-diabetic, you're full-blown type 2 diabetic, or somewhere in between. And, you know, that way you can start going in the direction of following keto camp and get off of the carbs, the sugar, and the oils, so that you can eliminate all of that and you can reverse your type 2 diabetes. It's something that you can reverse. It's not unreversible. That's the main thing you need to know.
Yeah, that's very important to understand. It is reversible. Type 2 diabetes, hyperinsulinemia, PCOS, these are conditions that the body... And then they test your postprandial glucose, so about an hour after having it, but also postprandial insulin. And they see how well you are doing at processing that high amount of sugar. And if it shows you're processing it poorly, that's a big clue that you are pre-diabetic or diabetic. Is that a fair way to explain it?
Absolutely. Yeah, you have to do that. That's when I realized how important that was from Dr. Ford Brewer and all these other geniuses that are on the cutting edge of metabolic health and so forth. I knew I had to emphasize that as well as all these others. And there's other ones in that the chapter that Dr. Ford Brewer recommends, but that's the most important one you want to start off with. And once you discover that, then you can take these other tests insofar as looking at the inflammation markers that most doctors don't check. And they're all in that chapter 22. I cover a lot of it. I have a whole section in the book in chapter, 17, 18, 19, and 20. That's where I go deep into the metabolic relationship between heart disease and how all that is, and the difference between soft plaque and calcified plaque. The soft plaque is the dangerous plaque. That's the one that causes heart disease, heart attacks and strokes. And the calcified plaque does not. And that's a whole other thing that I cover in chapter 2019. But and it's so true. Like you were, the statistics, you look at some of those that in 1930, the obesity rate was 1%. We're now approaching 50%, according to the CDC and Harvard Medical and that kind of thing. And that's less than 100 years. And never before in human history has a population gotten so fat and so sick. What the hell is happening? And that's why I like to give, starting with chapter one, the history of how all this happened, where it started with there was this fake science that started to be pursued by this guy named, I think you may have covered him. What's his name?
Ansel Keys.
Ansel Keys. There we go.
Our good friend.
Oh my God. He started this whole false information that it was at the time. See, the amount of people that were just being taken in the prime of their life was, was just, if you look at from a graph that I have in that starting from 1900, by the year time you get to 1955, it's going like this. And they were looking at why was this happening? So he came up with this thing. Well, it was the saturated fat that was clogging up everything. And it wasn't that way at all. He was the one that had this idea that he got across to people that it was like a shower drain, that was getting clogged up with, all the soap and the gook and the hair and it was clogged up like that. And it's not how it works at all. Because it all stores underneath the artery walls, not in the lumen, where it's where the blood flows. It's not that way at all. So he came up with all this, and it was just really wrong. And he came up with the whole idea, you got to eat low fat, avoid, you got to eat more carbohydrates and avoid the butter and all that stuff. And so he's the one that's where it started there. And then by the 60s and 70s, that's where all the high carb, low fat diet came in. And that's where you can look at the rate of diabetes started going like this, right? It's date coincident with that. So it's just was bad news. And he started it there because years later, they found out that it was the cause of the epidemic of smoking that caused all of that. And that's what it was from. But by that time, everybody was believing that it was like a shower drain that was getting clogged up with all the, the clogging.
Are teaching that, but his studies, this 22 country study that Ansel Keys did, he shared only 7 of those 22 countries that fit his correlation. But even with those 7 countries, that fit his hypothesis that the higher amounts of saturated fat these countries consume, the higher rates of heart disease. They were not even consuming saturated fats. They were consuming margarine and trans fats. And it was a whole bunch of lies. And it created something called, I call it lipophobia. And my definition of lipophobia is the fear of fat based off of 50 plus years of propaganda and misinformation. And the truth is the body loves quality fat. You know, cholesterol is vital for our hormones. It's vital for our liver, for our brain, for our cellular function. It's not the cholesterol that's the boogeyman. It's this holy trinity. It's the processed carbs. It's the seed oils. It's the amount of the frequency that we're eating these carbohydrates. And that was your exact story. I mean, that was your life. You were having the healthy whole grain carbs and it led to cardiovascular disease. First domino to fall that leads to all the other conditions, including heart disease. So that's why you said get that test done, because that's the first domino to fall, which leads to all those other conditions that you were referencing, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, and let me give you some reason behind that. The smoking destroys what's called the glycocalyx. And I covered this when Dr. Ovedia had interviewed me. We covered this. And smoking destroys the glycocalyx, which is this fuzz-like coating of the artery walls, and it discovers that. And the glycocalyx was always, prior to that, was always the first defense against small dense LDL particles from invading the artery walls and getting stuck underneath and causing plaque deposits over time. And so that was what was calling it. But the other thing that causes a destruction of the glycocalyx is the carbs and the sugar and the oils. They're the, you know, all the sugars and the carbohydrates from your bread and pasta and all that. Because, you know, throughout our history, these bodies that we have, you know, we're used to having a diet that was consisted of what we could catch, kill, and eat, nose to tail. That was our diet for what? Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years. And we didn't even start eating grains until about 9,000 years ago, as you know. And by the way, I got to give you a lot of kudos and big hugs for giving your audience of all this, because you were way ahead of me and all discovering all this and passing this correct information on to people and how the carbs and the sugar really destroy the glycocalyx, and which leads into the hyperinsulinemia, which then leads into inflammation. And the inflammation of the arteries is that's what you need to check for. And your average doctor and even a lot of cardiologists don't check the right markers. And I have all those in the book too. There's myeloperoxidase, MPO, LP-PLAC2. There's microalbumin creatinine ratio. I mean, you don't have to write them down or anything, but I have them all in the book. I cover them in my chapters as well as Dr. Ford Brewer's. And those I call smoke detectors, right? So you want to check those to find out if your artery's on fire and, you know, you need to remove those kind of things. You got to check those first to see where you are, see if you're in danger or if you're just fine. Because when I first found out all of these, after my heart attack, I decided to get a lot of testing done because I wanted to have a benchmark to, you know, measure where I was so where I could compare in the future, like 3 months, 6 months, and so forth, so I could measure my progress in the future. And so I did that, and then I got all these different tests to find out so I could measure things. And I did that fortunately, and so that I could find out. Another thing I found out was that another thing that I had because of the type 2 diabetes that I found that I was undiagnosed with was it was also caused the root cause source of my undiagnosed fatty liver disease. It was called NAFLD, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And that is very deadly because I had this thing called elevated GGT. And the reason why it's so deadly is because, and most doctors don't even check that. They might check some other kind of...
ALT and AST maybe, but...
Yeah, there you go. There, those two. But they don't check the GGT. And the reason why it's so important is because life insurance companies, they want to know because it's just business to them. They're less interested in medical science. It's just business to them. They want to know what is it that is the number one predictor of all-cause mortality. And it is having highly elevated GGT.
Really? That's what they consider.
Yeah. If you got elevated GGT, and then the studies you look at, it's so closely related to cardiovascular disease. And then I realized, wow, that's why I had this cardiovascular disease, because I had such bad. Let me tell you, first of all, the levels are supposed to be under 65. Mine was 265.
Wow.
And it was just like, wow, it was just way beyond. And then it was all because of this thing called high fructose corn syrup, which I had no idea was in a lot of things that were in my pantry. I didn't know that, you know, I was looking at the ingredients and they were in this and that and the other. And that's what that caused for me, you know, because they were, there's even studies that showed something like, I think it was like you can develop fatty liver disease in about 2 weeks to 2 to 4 weeks if you just start adding that into your diet in a heavy duty way. And so, you know, you got to find out these things.
Oh my gosh. And the cool thing about the liver in particular, it's the one of the rare organs that could regenerate 100%. Even if it's lost about up to 75% of its function, it can regenerate back to 100%.
If you watch any of my videos on social media, you always see me with glasses on. And I always get the question, hey, why are you wearing those glasses? These are called blue light blocking glasses. And I wear them to protect my brain and my focus. You see, we are bombarded with stimulation, especially with junk light from your computer screen, your phone, fluorescent lights, and the brain has to filter that out. These glasses, what they do is they filter out those lights for you so your brain does not have to do the work. I equate this to having a web browser open with 100 tabs. If you had 100 tabs open on your computer, that computer is going to run slow. But if you were able to eliminate 99 of those 100 tabs, and now you just have one tab open, that computer will function better. This is the same thing with your brain. So there's different types of blue light blocking glasses. There are computer glasses that you would wear during the day when working with screens and under artificial light. There are light sensitivity glasses that you would also wear during the day with screens and artificial light. And then you have the blue light blocking glasses, which I wear at night, 2 to 3 hours before I go to bed, which promotes hormone health, helps your body produce melatonin, and aids in better sleep. My go-to is from Bon Charge. They have the science to back it up. They look super cool. The glasses come in non-prescription, prescription, and reading options. Glasses for every need. Bon Charge also has other amazing products such as low blue light bulbs, red light therapy devices, EMF/5G protection, and 100% blackout sleep mask that I take with me when I travel all the time. The greatest thing about them, all backed up by science. They gave Keto Camp podcast listeners a 15% off coupon code. All you need to do is head over to bondcharge.com/ketocamp and use the coupon code KETOCAMP at checkout, no space in between, to get 15% off your entire order. We'll drop that link down below along with the coupon code. Go check them out and let's get back to this episode.
I call the liver the soccer mom organ because it does so many things for us. And a lot of people don't get, you know, what the role of the liver on metabolism, right? It produces bile, which breaks down fat, helps with your metabolism, detoxification. And I'm glad you brought up the GGT. And I think for those watching and listening, that's important for you to get those liver enzymes done, get the ALT, get the AST, but get that GGT. And as you were sharing that, yours was over, you said yours was over 200 when you tested that time?
265.
That's insane. I'm looking at mine. I just did a test about a month ago. Mine's 9, right? So that's pretty good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm curious for you. Have you tested your GGT lately and have you reversed your type 2 diabetes?
Oh yeah. You can, it can take a long time, or it can take a long time. It took me a long time for whatever reason. I don't know. It went from 265 to 230, down to 195, down to 165. You know, I kept texting it and testing it, and it took me 2 years to get down into the normal, which is great. I got into safe levels and everything else a lot quicker. But that GGT, it took, because I had that much damage, because I was in big danger. Because like I said, the life insurance actuaries, they're just interested in saving money. So they want to know what are the markers that scream mortality risk. So they got to know who to reject and who to accept. But you can bring it down like I did. It took a while, but I got into the safe. I'm in good levels now. So yeah, it can take a while, but that's why you have to start testing things right from the start.
Yeah, so important. Have you ever felt off during your keto journey or carnivore journey? Maybe you experienced a headache, some fatigue, pesky cravings. This can happen when your body loses vital minerals, especially when following a keto diet. Here's what happens. When you lower insulin on keto and carnivore and fasting, you shed excess body weight. This is fantastic because you look lighter and feel lighter. However, you lose essential minerals like potassium, sodium, and magnesium. That's where Beam Mineral steps in. It's a full-spectrum, concentrated electrolyte and mineral supplement that gives you all the essentials your body needs. Beam Mineral products are the perfect support for anyone doing keto, carnivore, and fasting. It does not break your fast. It does not contain any anti-nutrients, so it is carnivore-friendly. It tastes just like water. It helps to keep your carb cravings at bay and to keep you in this fat-adapted state we love called ketosis. I love this product. I drink it daily. I give it to my dog as well. So give Beam Minerals a try today for an enhanced keto, carnivore, and fasting experience. Head over to beamminerals.com and use the coupon code AZADI, which is my last name, A-Z-A-D-I, for a special discount. That is beamminerals.com, BEAMMINERALS.com. Coupon code AZADI. We'll put that down below in the podcast notes. All right, let's get back to this interview. Cholesterol is a big topic these days, total cholesterol. It's probably the most common question I get asked on my social media. Like, hey, Ben, you know, I started doing more fats and keto and carnivore per your recommendation, and my cholesterol went from like 180 to 280 or from 250 to like 350. And my doctor is concerned that my total cholesterol is, you know, elevated, and he or she wants to put me on a statin or thinks this diet is dangerous for me. Can you share your thoughts on total cholesterol and why people actually live longer lives with a good amount of cholesterol?
That's right on, Ben, because you know that people with high cholesterol live the longest and those with low cholesterol die much earlier and usually of some form of cancer. It's just crazy. It's just backwards. It reminds me, you know, people get these false information in their mind and they just get locked in on it. It reminds me of Mark Twain, who was the king of common sense, right? And he has this wonderful quote. What was it? I'll say it twice so it sinks in. He said, "It's easier to fool people than to convince them they have been fooled." It's easier to fool people than to convince them, hey, you've been fooled, because they get an idea of certain things in their mind. They start believing that, oh, well, it's kind of like a shower drain that gets clogged up with the hair and the grease and the soap and the you know, the more saturated fats you eat, and the higher cholesterol you have. It's not that you can't do it in context. You have to, you know, if you've got, I personally am it's called lean mass hyper responder, where you can have high cholesterol and even high LDL, but you can have high HDL, which is the very healthy, good cholesterol, which is very protective. And, you know, it actually helps sweep away the bad cholesterol. And I should clarify that a little bit too, because most doctors, they lump all LDL, the so-called bad boy cholesterol, into one category. There's two types of LDL. There's the pattern A and pattern B. Pattern A is the large, fluffy, harmless LDL cholesterol. cholesterol. And the pattern B is the small, dense LDL particles that can invade the artery wall and get stuck underneath in what's called the intima media space. And that's what builds up the soft, dangerous plaques that the plaque that can build up and cause heart attacks and strokes.
Is that your favorite metric to test for soft plaque, the small, the pattern B LDL particles?
It's one of the best ones. Yeah, it's the test is called NMR lipoprofile. And most doctors don't know about it. And you can buy one online. And, it, you know, the way it works is real simple. Just so your audience knows, if your doctor doesn't order it, you can get any of the anything on your own. I tell you which labs you can buy online, what you want to look for. You got to whip out your credit card and pay for it. They send you an email and you print it out. You take it to your local lab, which is, you know, either LabCorp or Quest Diagnostics, which are thousands of around the country and even around the world, where you can get that done. And then you have the blood draw done within a couple of days. And then you get your results within 2 or 3 days after that. So it's easy peasy. You can find out if your doctor won't order these things. So you want to get those. You want to get this NMR, stands for nuclear magnetic resonance lipoprofile. So that way you know if you've got the healthy LDL or you've got the unhealthy LDL. You know, at first, and what low-carb and keto diets do is they make those small, dense LDL particles, the pattern B, they turn them into pattern A, which are healthy, and they're good for you because they can help clear out these small, dense LDL particles. In this process, it's called HDL efflux capacity. That's a technical thing. And I, you know, I have a lot of science in the book, and it's just, but I write everything for the average reader of health and wellness because, you know, even though my book has more scientific references and citations than any other health book out there, I mean, if they have any, they have 200 or 300. I have 1,227 citations, and I'm told, and I think I am pretty good at taking what can be complicated science, but explaining it for the average reader of health and wellness. And when I put it together, and I thought, I need to write this for my, like, Uncle Joe or my brother Dave, because they're not scientifically inclined or technically inclined. I want the average person to understand that they can do something about it. And then they can take steps and go, oh, wow, that's the one. I understand it now. Because I'm, you know, you don't make a lot of money from writing health books, but I have become very wealthy when I hear back from people from all over the world saying, wow, this is really great. This has helped my life. This is all the, it's now an international bestseller. And so I try to give all of the things that people can use and think with and go, oh, wow, now I really understand what hyperinsulinemia and insulin resistance is. Because you got to understand what that is. You can't explain it in terms that are just too technical. And so that's what I strive to do.
I love that you do. It's so important because that gets to the masses, right? It, if we get too technical, it goes over people's heads. And your book is a great resource for the average person. Everybody get the book. We'll reference it. We'll put a link down below. I want to share, I just did 90 days of a carnivore diet and I did lab work on day one. So I did a $3,500 LabCorp panel day one, stool test day one. I put on a continuous glucose monitor day one. And then I ate nothing but protein and saturated fat and animal products for 90 days. And then I retested on day 90. And I'm going to share my results with you right now. I'm putting together a whole podcast and video, but the audience could get a sneak peek. But I think it's relevant to what you shared here. On day one of the carnivore experiment, I was already doing, you know, mostly keto. My total cholesterol was 297. My triglycerides were 69. My total LDL particles, like all the particles together, was 2,150.
Oh!
And then my total LDL on day one was 222. So if we just looked at that, the average doctor, they think, dude, you are going to have a heart attack. But then I got the NMR done, as you mentioned. The majority of all my LDL particles were the pattern A, the large and fluffy. The small dense was 491, right? So it was actually within range. And this is day one. Then I did 90 days of carnivore. And then let's talk about that. My total cholesterol went from 297 on day one to 434 on day 90.
my total triglycerides went from 69 to 78. My total LDL went from 222 to 350. But my small dents, the pattern B, actually reduced after 90 days.
Wow.
There you go.
Fasting insulin. Yeah, fasting insulin 3.3, 3.4. C-reactive protein under 1. Homocysteine single digits. Right? So if I didn't get all these markers done and I just looked at total cholesterol and total LDL, I'd probably panic and be like, what did I do to my body? But to your point and your book's point, a lot of moving parts here. And that's the purpose of why I wanted to do this experiment.
No, that's wonderful because, you know, you have to see most doctors don't get this information. They just don't. Well, even Dodd, I appeared on Dr. Ovadia's channel last month. Well, actually it was, it was last month. And he asked me a question that was very revealing as well as kind of validating to me too. He said something like, and remember, he's a cardiologist. He's a cardiac surgeon. He's done over 3,000 heart operations. So he really knows his stuff about cardiovascular health, as well as metabolic health too. And he asked me, how is it that you as a non-surgeon were able to figure this all out when 99% of medical doctors can't or won't? I'm like, wow, what a question that was. And see, we explored that. He has his opinions, and I had some ideas about that too. I think some, just to mention my opinion a little bit, I think some doctors think that they have the mentality where, well, if they didn't teach it to me in medical school, it must not be that important enough. Or if I'm supposed to know about nutrition and metabolic health, they would have taught me that. I don't know. Again, haven't done the survey, but you know, they just don't explore that and they don't learn. You know, I had to learn this the hard way. I had to have a heart attack before it said, my biggest regret is having to have this life-threatening event to place me on this path. And, you know, I just want to avoid all that. And if I can pass along to the other person doing this and following those kind of things that I discovered that I almost lost my life on, then, hey, that's what I want to do. And bravo again to you for what you're doing insofar as pointing out the ancestral way to eat, how we've been used to eating for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of years. It was high fat, low carb, and that's the way it was.
Yeah, exactly. Your pain to purpose is so important. I'm glad it turned into this. I'm not glad you had the heart attack and went through that, but I'm glad that it led to this because it's so important to have this resource for the masses to read and to implement, especially with disease on the rise. Hey, I wanted to take a quick break from this conversation to remind you that we just launched our Keto Recipe of the Week program. Look, as somebody who personally doesn't enjoy cooking, I can tell you that these recipes are easy to follow, even for a newbie. And most importantly, they meet my high health standards for the keto guidelines. They are protein focused. They have the exact percentages and macronutrients to get you into ketosis or keep you in ketosis. They taste great. It kind of feels like you're cheating on your diet, but you're not. And I have been working with the food journalist / recipe developer to make this available to you. So you could burn fat, feel good, get those ketones up, and adopt this lifestyle. They are low in plant toxins. They don't contain any inflammatory seed oils and vegetable oils. They are built out to focus on protein, which builds your metabolism. And we're giving away over $400 in free bonuses when you sign up for the Keto Recipe of the Week, which is only $9.90 per month. Cancel anytime, 30-day money-back guarantee. That's 33 cents a day. Head over to ketocamprecipes.com to get these recipes at the discounted price before the price goes up. We'll put that link down below. All right, let's get back to the conversation. One of the most common things they do with these arterial blockages is to put in a stent. In your book, you talk about why about 85% of stents are unnecessary. And if you could explain what exactly they're doing with the stents and why it is unnecessary most of the time.
Okay, whoa. Here's another one that this kind of relates to big food where they just come up with all these addictive foods for money, right? It's all for money and profits as opposed to what's good for human beings. In the cardiovascular area, there was a trial called the ischemia trial, and it was this large $100 million government-funded trial where they had 5,200 people they put into two groups. One had invasive procedures like open heart surgery or stents, and the other one was more of lifestyle changes. You know, losing some weight, getting to the gym, changing your diet, dropping 20 pounds, that kind of thing. Maybe with some blood pressure medications, that kind of thing. So they had the two groups, and they basically wanted to prove that it was these invasive procedures, open heart surgery and stents, that were the answer and how you prevent heart attacks and strokes. And so what they did was they followed these people closely for 4 years, and they found out there was no difference. They failed. They'd even said, it says they, this test failed to show that these invasive procedures like open heart surgery with bypass surgery and stents are preventive measures. And they're not. They're no better than the, you know, the lifestyle changes and so forth. Same with another one. It was another large study called the COURAGE trial. And then there was another one called the ORBITA trial. And these three, the headline that should have come out and that did come out was that these invasive procedures do not prevent heart attacks and strokes. They don't. And so then I say, so do you think because this was the result, you think these invasive procedures will now come to a halt? And the answer is there is so much of an enormous amount of revenue generated by these mostly unnecessary procedures, it's 85% are done for those reasons and only 15% for emergency situations. And let me be clear, they can be lifesavers. If a person's having a heart attack, they're in some emergency situation, it's 15% of the time where they can save somebody. The other 85% of the time is done, they don't need it. And so I cover all this in chapter 17, and it's just like, and you would think that they would at least kind of taper off a little bit after the graph is going up like this on the number of invasive procedures. And so it's because if you eliminated those invasive procedures, there are careers and institutions that would also disappear. I'm sorry to say that, but you know, you get rid of those and there goes the mountain retreat and the beach house and the kids in Ivy League, you get rid of, they got to go because you can't afford those anymore because you've got to do all of these invasive procedures that they've bought into. And look, I don't know what their mindset is, if it's nefarious, or that. I can't give you any opinion on that because, again, I haven't done any surveys, but this is what the science shows. And that's why I always have it in I'd like to put it in there, the chapter 17, 18, 19, and 20, what the truth is about what it is. And then that way, if your doctor is recommending one of these, you can then send the study to your doctor. And number one, they'll know that you know, now that you know. And number two, you can say to them, okay, so explain to me again why you want me to do this, right? And see what they say. So, and then you want to get a second opinion and you want to find somebody like Dr. Ford Brewer or Dr. Orvadia or Ken Berry or something like that so that you can get the truth of the matter and not what the big money makers are.
So true. The writing is on the wall. If you look, you're going to find it. I mean, the statin industry, last year they made over $13 billion in 2023. So they don't want us to know the truth. To your point, there's a lot of money to be lost when people start realizing that cholesterol is not the boogeyman we've been taught to believe. You had mentioned, Daniel, that soft plaque is an issue, and I agree. You said the calcified plaque is not much of a concern for you. Is that what you said? Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah. I cover that in chapter 19, and this is cutting edge research that a lot of cardiologists don't know because there's two studies in particular. They come from the top two places on the planet for cardiology. One is Cleveland Clinic, that's ranked number one globally for cardiovascular care, and the American College of Cardiology, which is the top school on the planet for cardiovascular disease. And there's two kinds of tests that you want to get. You want to get the test for soft plaque, which is called echolucent, or compared echolucent plaque with echogenic plaque. That's the hard and the calcified. And because the soft plaque is what causes heart attacks and strokes. Cleveland Clinic, when you're testing for the calcified, that's a good test. It's called the CAC test, coronary artery calcium scan. But what they point out is, and you never hear this from cardiologists or anybody, is that the result of the CAC scan, the number that you get, it's a good test to get, but what it represents is there's four times as much soft plaque as there is calcified plaque. And what happens is you can get a not good score the first time you get one. Let's say it's supposed to be between a 0 and 400. 400 is bad, but it can go much higher than that. For example, I had 600, but I didn't know anything about the soft plaque. And so what happens is you can get this calcium scan and you have this bad number. And then you spend a year or two getting in, you know, intermittent fasting, you do in low carb keto, you do some, you know, you really get much healthier and your arteries really get healthy. And what happens is the arteries get healthier, they lay down calcium. And so what happens is, for example, I'm the perfect example of this. What they call it, what these researchers call it, is they call it the buildup of the artery, they call it the CAC paradox, or the plaque density paradox. And it's not a paradox to the researchers or the doctors. It's a paradox for the patients because they think the higher, the better. So after you've spent a year or so getting healthy, you take that test again, like I did. My first one was 600. Year and a half later, after like, you know, getting really healthy and everything, I took it again and it shot up to 2,500. And even Dr. Ford will tell you, he says that, look, this is exactly why we don't recommend getting a second one, because people are ready to, we have to talk them off the committing suicide or something. They think they're going to die. But what happens is the analogy that the Cleveland Clinic gives, he says, look, so you get all this calcium built up and you have to think of it as an iceberg where the tip of the iceberg is the calcium and what's underneath is the soft plaque. That's the dangerous plaque. And you can't see that. That's what brought down the Titanic, right? They even give this analogy. They give this analogy to say, look, this is like an iceberg and the danger is underneath the surface. It's not what you're seeing on the number. So you can have a score like me, like I had 2,500 after I got healthy. And that meant that I had calcified plaque instead of the soft dangerous plaque, because this is what happens. When you have soft dangerous plaque, it can rupture through the endothelial or the lining of the artery and spill into what's called the lumen, where the blood flows. And when it touches blood, it creates a clot. It goes downstream, so to speak. And if it goes to your heart, you have a heart attack. If it goes to your brain, you have a stroke. And that shows you right there that it can come from any place in your body. It's not just your heart. So you want to, that's why the soft plaque is so dangerous. So anyway, it's the tip of the iceberg, but you do want to get the calcium scan, but you don't want to pay attention to the coronary artery calcium paradox or the plaque density. This is the data that the cardiologists, many to this day, don't know about. And it's right out of the Cleveland Clinic, which is the top place on the planet for cardiology, cardiovascular care, and the American College of Cardiology. So there you go.
Yeah, this is really interesting. And I've seen this with a friend of mine, Eric, who's, they call him Keto 5-0. That's exactly what happened to him. He went keto, he went healthy, carnivore, and it shot up and he was concerned. And this is making sense to me now. I'm learning this as well, so I'm glad you share this. So I'm curious, if somebody's getting a calcium score done, is it only looking at calcified plaque but not soft plaque?
Correct. Well, the stable datum or the datum idea you want to understand is that where is it in their transition that they're getting it? Have they already done like a lot of healthy movements in order to put the calcium there to fortify it? Or if it's right in the beginning as one of their initial tests, the CAC scan, there's a better test for that. It's called the CIMT, carotid intima media thickness test. And this is a pretty amazing test to check for the soft plaque. And that's in chapter 19 too. I cover all of this in chapter 19, which ones you want to get and all that. So, but all you need to know is if you do get the CAC scan, then you just have to know that you have four times as much soft plaque underneath the surface that your cardiologist thinks, oh, well, you got the calcification and that's what's going to cause. It's not that. It's the soft plaque. You have four times as much, and that's what's going to cause your heart attack or stroke.
What if somebody, and that's really good info, by the way. Thank you for that. What if somebody gets a calcium score and it's a zero?
Well, depending on their age, they can still have some dangerous calcified plaque. So that's why you can't just do one test in a vacuum. You have to check a battery of tests. You got to check your microalbumin creatinine ratio. You got to check your myeloperoxidase, your LP plaque 2, your F2 isoprostanes, your on and on. There's a lot of these markers that are in the book that say, look, you can get these if your doctor doesn't order them. You can buy them yourself and check where they are. And so you want to get these most important ones that, again, our average doctors just don't check. And it took me to have my heart attack. So don't be like me. Find out what's going on inside of you. That's my big message. Don't be like me. Find out what's going on inside with the proper testing, emphasis on the word proper. And, you know, there you go. And follow your channel.
I love it. Do you remember, Daniel, before you had your heart attack, if you were getting some lab tests and they were looking at any inflammatory markers like homocysteine or C-reactive protein before that?
No. I wasn't. There was no, well, look, high-sensitivity C-reactive protein, you can have a lot of misreading there. You can have false positives, false negatives. You can have had a cold or flu a few days before and it's off. You know, so you can't just test high-sensitivity C-reactive protein. You got to check these other inflammation markers to get the, again, it's a battery of players and blood labs that you got to check so that you can understand what's the full picture here.
I agree. I was just curious to know if they ever tested that before you had the heart attack. But yeah, to your point, there's a lot of moving parts here.
Well, I didn't have them only because the doctors that I had at the time, they're just the typical physicians who don't know these latest research and latest, ways of diagnosing things.
Yeah, so true. Where can the audience get your book? Where's the best place to get it?
Well, I would say the best thing to do is go to danieltrevor.com. And that way I have a 7-minute video where they can hear my story and maybe some shocking statistics like you know, we've covered here in a little bit, as well as I had my website guy. I had him mount the interview that I had with Dr. Ken Burry because that went viral. And that's the one that made my book go to number one on Amazon for heart disease, number one for type 2 diabetes, and number one for longevity. So I'm going, wow, this is amazing. And again, like I said, you don't get rich selling health books, but I have become very wealthy hearing back from people all over the place that are just, you know, changing lives and that kind of thing. I'm thinking, wow. That's why I wrote it, because I want people to understand this thing and not follow your standard directions from your doctors who don't know the proper latest science. And so you can understand and go like that. So anyway, danieltrevor.com. And I also have, they're also going to see all of the amazing endorsements from these people like Dr. Ford Brewer and all these other people on below the video. That shows I have their pictures. I have what they said. And I love the one that Dr. Ovadia has for me. I even have it here. Let's see. He says, and I put it on the back of the cover on the top because I filled the back with, he said, to anyone who doesn't want to see me or one of my colleagues standing over them in a hospital bed, read this book.
That's the perfect endorsement.
Yeah, so I got lucky with that, and I feel flattered and fortunate for that. So, you know, go to danieltrevor.com, and you can also get a free preview of the book. And what that is the first 48 pages of the book. That way you can check it out and, you know, from there. And then there's also a button where you can click order it on Amazon. So
I love it. We'll put it down below. Yeah, Dr. Mark Hyman, Dr. Berg also endorsed your book. Some big names, which speaks volumes to, you know, the work that you did. And you mentioned how you don't get rich from selling books. It's true, but the form of wealth you do get is that psychic wealth, you know, that satisfaction. And that's exactly what you're experiencing. And it's so well deserved. I have a final question for you, Daniel.
Yeah.
I talk a lot about gratitude. I call it vitamin G. And I believe it's anti-inflammatory, great for the heart, great for the metabolism. And I want to ask you, what are you grateful for today?
Well, I'm grateful that I found all of these, you know, geniuses that found out what I didn't know to help me heal. I found them on YouTube. I found people like you, like Dr. Ford Brewer, like Ivor Cummins, Dr. Philip Ovadia. You know, all the Nina Tykoltz, I found all of these people online. I go, wow, this makes so much sense. And since I was already pretty smart, because I learned, like I said, early on, I learned how to study very well and like that. So just, you know, follow the statistics, because you got to go by the statistics that what can really have and what have cured people. And I'm one of them.
Amen. You're living proof. We'll put your website down below, Daniel. It's danieltrevor.com. The book is on there, Unholy Trinity. Go get the book, share it with a friend, gift it to somebody. So important, this conversation. So please consider sharing it with somebody you know. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment down below. Daniel, thank you for living your pain to purpose and allowing us to benefit from your experiences. And I'm excited to see what you do next. And you're helping a lot of people, and it's so important. Arguably, this is like what we need to do to put a dent in disease when disease is on the rise. It's books like this. It's conversations like this. So thank you, brother, for what you're doing. And I learned a lot today. So I appreciated the conversation.
Well, thank you, too, because you're a perfect example of it as well. So anyway, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I hope you loved that conversation with Daniel. So much fun. His website is danieltrevor.com. We have a link for his book, The Unholy Trinity, How Carbs, Sugar, and Oils Make Us Fat, Sick, and Addicted, and How to Escape the Grip. We have put that link down below in the podcast notes. You can find him on LinkedIn as well. We put that down below. If you want to watch the video interview with Daniel, that's on our YouTube channel. We have referenced that down below as well. Thank you so much for spending part of your day with me and Daniel. Leave the show a rating and review. We have a lot of cool episodes coming up. So subscribe if you haven't done so already, and I'll see you on the next episode. This podcast is for information purposes only. Statements and views expressed on this podcast are not medical advice. This podcast, including Benazade, disclaims responsibility from any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not accept responsibility of statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or non-direct interest in products or services referred to herein. If you think you have a medical problem, consult a licensed physician.